talk about some of the reasons for Shemitah. Look at source, the first section here, just in Vayikra. Okay, these are psukim that you might know already, but we'll just go just see them very quickly. When you come to the land that I will give you, the land should rest a Shabbat, a year of rest for Hashem. 6 years you should plant, 6 years you should prune your vineyard and gather all of the produce. It should be a Shabbat Shabbaton for the land. Shabbat LaHashem, Sarchalos is Rav, Charmachalos is more. You shouldn't plant in your field, and you shouldn't prune your vineyards. You can't harvest anything that grows during the Shemitah year. I mean, even if it grows by itself, and you don't plant it, you still cannot harvest it. Same thing grows for grapevines. Shana Shabbaton Yelaret. It's just Shana Shabbaton. Vaisa Shabbat Aretz Lachem Lachla. And anything that grows in that year should be for you to eat. And for anybody that's with you. And for your animals, which are in your land. All of the grain should be for you to eat. So that we're not going to deal with so much now, but what it says here seems to be that even though you can't plant during Shemitah, whatever grows during the Shemitah year is for everybody, meaning that it's for you to eat, which again we'll see later on, means that it's hefker, meaning it's not just yours, you can't own it. It means that it's owned by everybody. Anybody has the right to go in and eat that food. Okay, so the question now they have to think about is, why does the Torah say this? Meaning, why does the Torah introduce such a very important halacha such as Shemitah? Now, obviously, every mitzvah in the Torah is important. Okay, this is mitzvah d'oraisa here. Anybody know why this might be even a little more important than other mitzvahs? Meaning, where do we see in other respects that Shemitah actually was something which was very serious, taken very seriously by Hashem, based on the punishment, meaning for not keeping Shemitah?
Went,
oh, beautiful. Remember your name again?
Dov.
Okay, good. So you remember, how do you know that?
It's probably in some Haftarah.
Okay, good. Even before you get to the Haftarah, actually, you don't have to go that far.
Yeah.
Go to the next parsha. I mean, this is in Parshas Bahar. You guys know your parsha. It's the end of Vayikra. So in Parshas Bechukosai, okay, the next parsha, there's something very, very special in that parsha. I mean, remember what it is? Very scary. Known as the? Tochacha. Very good. Okay. Tochacha, the curses, right? It says, if you keep the Torah, then you get this blessing and this blessing and this blessing. And if you do not keep the Torah, then what happens to you? You are cursed, and you will get this problem, and this will, you'll get hurt with this, and you will get sent into exile, and this and this and this. And I didn't write it, we don't have it on the source sheet here, but one of the major things, I don't have a chumash here, you have a chumash here, that's a chumash. So one of the major things that the Torah says, okay, in that section, anybody know? So you said, Dov, you already said it. Remember what it says there?
That you go into Golos to make up for the...
So that's not exactly related to this. I mean, that may be connected. What it says there, so I can find it here, it says, if you follow the Torah, then you will get rain at the right time, and if you don't follow the Torah, you will not get rain at the right time. But a little later in that section... it says, if you want to look it up later, it's in Parachava, Pasuk Lama Dalad. Okay, it says, I'm going to scatter you, right before this, I'm going to scatter you in the nations, I'm going to send the sword after you, and your land is going to be desolate, etc., etc. And then it says, the land is going to rest its Shabsoseha. What do you think its Shabsoseha refers to?
Shabbos.
What Shabbos is that? It doesn't mean Shabbos every week. It means Shemitah, right? Kol yemei hashana, all the days that it's desolate, that you're in the land of your enemies, meaning you're sent into exile. Oz tishbas haaretz, then the land is going to be resting. V'yirtas shabbososa, and take over its Shabboses. Meaning, basically, kol yemei hashana tishbos es asher lo shavsa v'shabbososechem shivtechem aleha. All the days that it's desolate, meaning when you're in exile, it's going to rest because of the fact, or that which you did not rest, or didn't rest when you were in the land. Meaning because you did not keep Shemitah for however many hundreds of years that you were in Eretz Yisrael. So Hashem says the land is going to take over and sort of take back that rest during the years that you're in exile. They actually talk about this a little bit. How many years was the first exile? Do you remember?
7 years.
7 years, right. So they say that, it's, I don't know if it's exact or rough, but basically the amount of Shemitahs they didn't keep during the 500 or 600 years or whatever they were in Eretz Yisrael was apparently 70 years of Shemitah. I mean, that was the amount of times they didn't keep Shemitah properly. So they say, again, this is found in some of the Sfarim, that...
So how many Shemitah years is that? 70 Shemitah years?
So again, I think it's... They claim, again, I didn't have a chance to work this out, but I don't remember if it's in Chazal, I think it's in the Medrash, actually, and then later Sfarim talk about it also, that the amount of times they didn't keep Shemitah during that year, those years was 70 Shemitahs. 70 Shemitahs, again, 70 times 70 is 490, meaning... 70 times 7, meaning 70 years of Shemitah, so Shemitah comes every 7 years, so the amount of times it would have been is at least 490 years. I think there was more than 490 years that they were in Eretz Yisrael, but the amount of times they didn't keep Shemitah apparently was 70 times. So according to this, the point is that that's very severe, obviously, if we're saying that the land is taking revenge, so to speak, for the times it didn't keep Shemitah during the time that the Jews are in exile, that means this is a very, very important mitzvah. Okay, so the question is, why did Hashem create such a mitzvah of Shemitah? Meaning, why does it say it's one thing to keep, you know, to rest every seventh day, but why did Torah have this mitzvah of not planting and not harvesting normally every seventh year? So what do you guys think? Before we just quickly go through a couple of the reasons, anybody have any suggestions or reasons? Obviously, we cannot know the real reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu does this. Okay, this is talked about all the time in Sefer HaChinuch and the Rambam and others. It's clear that Hashem has his reasons, and we cannot fathom the depth of his idea. However, we can do, and they all say that we should do this, is to try to give a little bit of a reason, a little bit of a tum, so that we have a better appreciation for what's done. Okay, that's obvious, and that's what, if you look in the Sefer HaChinuch and the Rambam, they do this all the time. Okay, this is, you know, always some sort of idea. So what could be some of the reasons why Shemitah would be, you know, an important mitzvah? You have any ideas? No ideas. You don't want to risk it, right? You don't embarrass if you're wrong. But you can't go wrong. There's so many different reasons for Shemitah. Any ideas?
No. The people in the land.
Meaning?
By having what's called the Tetzliot Baretz,
okay,
means that Israel are absolutely linked to the lands, that they have a way of being part of the lands.
Okay, connection to Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to say. Very good. Meaning it's not relevant in Chutz Baretz, but in Eretz Yisrael it's relevant. Connection to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, fine. So that's one idea. We'll see that's discussed a little
also,
bit. Yeah. Remember your name again? One more time?
Jake,
great.
Proof that the land is not yours, it's God's.
Ah, excellent, beautiful. Okay, great. So those are two of the very, very important central reasons for Shemitah. There are a few others. If you take a look at the sheet here, so I actually got this from, I've seen these sources, but somebody else put this together. There's an organization from Karen Biavna, which I guess is the other yeshiva that you didn't go to. Karen Biavna has a thing called Tzurba Mirabanan, which is basically thing that they do for Baal HaBatzim, where they put together these booklets of practical halacha, and they go through different sources. So I got it from there. This set of sources, which it's nicely organized by them, so I figured, why should I do double work? You know, they already have whatever it is. They have a whole booklet actually on Shemitah, which I have to get. If I get it, maybe I'll bring it and I can show you guys. They put together there. Anyway, so you look here. So this is, let's look at the different reasons they gave. Well, we're not going to go through everything here, but we'll look at some of these. Okay, so Aleph, Kadesh Shneida Sheha'aretz Shayachas LaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chizuk Midat HaBitachon. So idea number one is that we have to remember that the Eretz Yisrael belongs to Hashem. Okay, if you look at the Gemara here in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Tes, it says the following, Asahu Talmida, a certain Talmud came and said, Saramala L'Rabbi Abo, my time of the Shviya, so what is the reason why Hashem gave us this mitzvah of Shemitah? So what did he say? Amarle, he answered him, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Zaru Sheish V'Shmitu Shava. He says, plant for 6 years, and the seventh year, let the land lie fallow. Why? Kadesh Tedu Sheha'aretz Chalihu, so that you should know that the land belongs to me. Okay, so according to this, we see clearly that the idea is that we want to know that the land of Eretz Yisrael belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, what's Pshat? So again, obviously, you know, if you ask anybody, that's obvious. Of course, the land belongs to Hashem. But if you start to think about it a little bit, again, especially coming from Chutz Laaretz, even more so. But here in Eretz Yisrael, a little easier. But just think about it a little bit. Who runs my life? Okay, let's start with the farmer. Okay, the farmer is the best example. Okay, most of us don't have so much background in farming here. But just think about it. Okay, farmers today, what do? They do the same thing they did 3,000 years ago. They go to the land, they plant, they put in seeds, they plant trees, they grow fruits and vegetables and crops and wheat. And, you know, they put in the stuff, they water, they do this and they do that. After a few months, the things grow. You know, voila, presto, beautiful. Who did that? Was it them? Or was it Hashem? So you can easily understand that a farmer, you know, without thinking, would just say, well, yeah, I plant and the crops come forward. I harvest the crops and I sell the crops. Great, it's me. And if I'm good, if I know how to plant properly, great, I'm going to have a great crop, sell it and make lots of money, right? Perfect, right? But obviously it's not so simple. Here in Eretz Yisrael especially, but even in Chutz Laaretz, but even especially here, you know, Hashem makes this land specifically tailored to remind us that it's not us, okay? This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's land. What's the proof? Hey, look at what Eretz Yisrael was for the past 2,000 years. Okay, before then, when the Jews were not here, what happened in this land?
Desert.
Nothing, it was desert, okay? Nothing blooms. Ask the Arabs that lived here for us, okay? So we're still here, but saying just look at what happened, look at history. There was nothing here since the Jews left. After the Beis Hamikdash, there was nothing. It was all desolate, all nothing, desert. To today, the last 50, 60, 70 years, come the Jews and look in the world. Look what's happening. Amazing. You see direct fulfillment of the prophecies in the Navi taking place right before our very eyes. The land is blooming. There's trees everywhere. There's this. There's crops. It's amazing. Even in the southern Eretz Yisrael, we said before, the Negev is still a desert today. And in other places in Eretz Yisrael, look what's happening. They're growing crops. They figured out, Israel is like a leader in greenhouse technology. Okay? Amazing thing. It's not just because we're good. Okay, Jews are smart, obviously. We know Jews are smart, and it's obvious. But it's not just that, okay? We need a little Seata Dishmaya here. We could be the smartest people in the world, and as you see, if you know anything about this country, especially those of you who are interested in making Aliyah, okay, this country is a crazy bureaucracy, and if not for a little bit of help from God, nothing would get done here. Okay, it's ridiculous. You go to this office and that office, and like, okay, this guy says talk to that guy. How in the world do they do anything in this country? So it's a nace that anything works properly here. So that's how it is. Eretz Yisrael belongs to Hashem, okay? And you guys weren't here yet, but the past summer, there was a war going on here, as I'm sure you know. And we saw, the best Israel tried to, they brought in all the soldiers and they pounded them and this and that. We can't, at the end of the day, they couldn't stop the rockets, okay? And yet, there were so many miracles of, how the rockets were stopped, even though we couldn't, destroy them. But the fact they shot rockets and they won the Iron Dome is a miracle, by the way, okay? That's just the fact that they developed Iron Dome technology at the right time. It's not just because we're technologically savvy. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay? It's his help in giving us the Siyata Dishmaya to make it happen. Okay, if there were plenty of stories around how so many few people were injured in Israel from the rockets, and yet when they went other places and past experiences, and even here, they injured Arabs when they misfired and they hit in Gaza instead, and 15 people were injured in one rocket. Here, it's just okay, you just walk and it falls in open areas, and nothing exploded, and tons of miracles. It's really an amazing thing. Okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes us realize that this land belongs to Him, and that's the message of Shemitah as well. Okay, look here, we have to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs this land, and that's what Shemitah is about, to remember that for a whole year we don't plant, and yet, Hashem promises us in the Torah He's going to provide for us. That's what it says in the Sefer HaChinuch. If we look at the next source, He says, "Od yesh tolas acher nimtza b'zeh ha'adam sheyosif adam bitachon b'shem Baruch Hu." That we add bitachon, we add security. We want to remember. We want to have confidence and faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kikol ha'motza im levavo la'seis lo'havkir lo'olam kol gedulei karka osav v'nachlas avosav. Anybody who remembers, who takes to heart that he has to, be mafkir all of his lands. Okay. Meaning, in Shemitah, if you're a farmer, so you planted, and you did this, and you did that, okay, or you just sat there, and the crops are growing, and you want to take it, and harvest it, and sell it, and what are you supposed to do? You can't do that, right? What happens to the crops? Any of your neighbors can just come in everything, okay, and even if you do sell it, you can't make the same amount of money out of it. That's something which takes a tremendous amount of emunah and bitachon, okay, that's a very serious thing to do that. He says, that's what it's all about, okay? Every once every 7 years, Mulumad Bakach, somebody who knows how to do that, V'chol Mishpacha Koyamav, and he and his family does that all of his days. Every 7 years, he doesn't take his props and he is mafker them. Lo Techazak Bo Leolam Midas Hakilus Harbe V'lo Miura Bitachon. Basically, the idea of the kol, of thinking that he has everything, that he runs the world, that he does everything, it won't be too strong in him, and he won't lose out on his bitachon. I mean, he's going to have a lot of bitachon. He will realize that Hashem runs the world, and even if he doesn't plant, and even if he doesn't own the crops, he will make sure, he will realize that Hashem is in charge, and Hashem will provide for him. Okay? And we got that. So that's a very important idea of Shemitah, the idea of bitachon, of reminding us that Hashem runs the world, and that we should trust in Hashem, and we don't do anything around here. It's all Him. And also what that means is, even for those of us who are not, farmers, just think, okay, are we going to, how do we make our parnasa? Okay, you guys still probably supported by your parents, but parnasa comes from Hashem. Okay, you ask them. All right, yes, you have a job and this and that, but at the end of the day, people get laid off and people have this, and you lose your job and you look for another job, and it's not so simple. Okay, you have to remember that Hashem is really the one in charge, and that's really a lesson that we can remember during Shemitah, even if we're not the farmers, something to keep in mind. Okay, bets. Okay, look at the second reason. Ezrelaim. Okay, this is an interesting idea. This is the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim. What does he say? He says, "Amen. Kol mitzvos asher siparnu b'halachos shmita v'yovel, the mitzvos of shmita yesh me'am chemla v'chanina al kol bnei adam, k'mo shenamar v'yachlu avyonei amecha." Basically, there's an idea of having mercy and being gracious to everybody, as it says, "And all the poor people in the land will eat." Now, I ask you, where did the Rambam get this from? Meaning, how did the Rambam see in the mitzvah of shmita the idea that you're helping other people? And what do you think? How do you think he got that? What do you say?
Hefker.
Exactly. The Rambam says, well, part of the idea of Shemitah is that the land is Hefker. Okay, meaning, yes, there's ideas of not planting and this and that, but part of the idea is that you can't, even fruit that does grow, again, think about fruit, okay? I don't know if you guys know how fruit works, but you have a tree, okay? If you don't water your tree, you know, significantly, will the fruit still grow? The answer is yes, it actually will grow, okay? Fruit, the tree's there. It may not be good fruit, but if you don't water the tree, you know, as much as you usually do, but the tree's there, the tree doesn't just die. And if you don't water it at all for a long period of time, maybe it'll die, but for 1 year, if you water a little bit, but not, you know, significantly, the fruit will still be there. It may not be great, but it's there. So the question is, who's going to eat that fruit? So the Rambam says part of the point of Shemitah is to make sure that all the poor people, okay, all the poor people around will have what to eat. They can come to your field and eat your oranges and eat your dates and eat your figs. So that's going to make sure that they're not going to go hungry. And take your grain also, by the way, okay, grain and wheat and barley. They'll take your food and they can go and eat bread and no problem. That's what Shemitah is about. It's not just about you and Hashem. It's also about you and other people, meaning instead of being Ben Adam L'Makom, according to the Rambam and the Mordechai Vuchim, it's also about Bein Adam L'Chaveru. Okay? Have we got that? So that's a very important idea of the Rambam. Now, of course, today, we're going to not talk about this now, but today, I have a big question how this applies today. Okay? Because today, even people that are poor, okay, how do people that are poor get food? Do they go to like somebody's field and pick their lemons? It doesn't work like that, okay? Because how are you going to find their field? Got to take a half an hour drive outside of your shalim, you know, and how much money you have to pay for the bus to go get the field, to get to the field. And then how many lemons can you pick? You pick 10 lemons or 20 lemons. How much is that? How's that going to help you? Okay? It's not going to help you so much. So today we have a whole question how that applies. But in the times of the Torah and the Gemara, so that was something which was very, very relevant. Okay, good. Any questions so far? That's number two. Number three. The Mordechai Vuchim adds another point. Okay, so that you should increase the crop of the ground and be able to strengthen its produce, what the ground produces. Where do you think the Rambam got that from? What does that mean? How do you think that Shemitah allows you to increase the yield of the ground? And you guys are not farmers. This is like not fair questions. But what do you think?
When you plant too many times in a row,
excellent.
It dries out the land.
Excellent, excellent.
Usually they do the thing where they do like a third of the
ground
at a time.
Exactly, right. Excellent, excellent. Okay, so I guess they do have farmers in San Diego. Yeah, maybe.
Like California.
California, that's true. Yeah, I guess not quite San Diego, but other parts of California. That is true. I heard there's a lot of drought recently, no? Last year or so?
They steal water from Colorado.
Oh, really? They steal water from Colorado?
All of our water comes from Colorado.
Really? Does Colorado agree to this?
And Northern California.
Colorado River, American River.
Right. Now you guys got plenty of rain, right? Seattle.
Yeah, we're covered.
Yeah, you're covered.
No problem.
We don't get rain.
Just steal from Seattle. No. Anyway, what's it called? So that's basically what that's exactly what the Rambam is saying here. Meaning, normally the way things work is that you usually work a field for a couple of years and then you let it rest for a year. That's basically the idea of Shemitah. What's interesting is that I think in Europe and many places what they'll do is they'll rotate fields. Meaning they'll have, you know, one each field will work for like 2 years, then they'll let it rest, and the next field will be for 2 years and let it rest. That's my understanding. I don't know if they always do that, but in many places it's, you know, 2-3 years and then they let it rest. Shemitah, and this by the way is mentioned, and I think the Meshech Chachma talks about this also. They say that Shemitah is a double haftacha. I mean, it's not just the fact that Hashem will provide for you, it's also that during the 6 years that you're planting, for all 6 years, Hashem promises that you will have a successful crop.
You won't dry the field.
Exactly, right. I mean, for 6 years, which is a lot, nothing's going to go bad. It's going to work. And during the seventh year, for your rest, so then during the seventh year, you'll have what to eat during the seventh year, even though you don't go to other fields, meaning every single field in Eretz Yisrael is not being worked, okay, except for maybe the southern, you know, southern tip, which is not included. That's a big thing. I mean, most fields, okay, if these two work now, this one will last.
Does that actually happen?
So that's the question. So this is the big haftacha. The Torah says, I didn't put it on the sheet here, but if you remember, the Torah says, if you ask me, what are we going to eat during the year, we didn't, you know, there's no fields. It's not just we have two fields that are not being worked and one field to plant. All the fields are not being planted. What does the Torah say? The Torah says, I promise you that I will give you a special bracha straight from me, from God. It promises you that you will have enough produce based on the sixth year. Meaning that the sixth year produce will be sufficient for you to provide for you for the seventh year and also even afterwards as well.
So
and that's a big bracha. Okay, this by the way, again, you don't have to accept this, but if you guys ever go to do discovery in Eshat Torah, that's one of their big proofs that, you know, only God can promise that he'll provide a miraculous amount of a crop from the sixth year. And then yes, do we know that it's true? I think they say that it's true. The problem is that, you know, the Jews didn't often keep Shemitah during the time of the temple. And today, there's a big question whether that promise applies today, because today we don't have the Beis Hamikdash, we have Hester Panim, you know, God is concealed. So we're not sure whether that applies today, that's the big question. But the very fact that God did promise that, if you look at the Quran and, you know, the New Testament and the other, you know, Bibles or other religions, they never have God promising that there's going to be more food for you or that it's going to, you know, they don't say that. Why not? Because they know that they can't, you know, the proof is in the pudding. They can't make it happen. I mean, they knew they couldn't make it come true. But God can promise, and therefore, because God promises, that is, again, it's not a proof, but it's one idea that, an indication that maybe God wrote the Torah. Again, I'm not saying you have to accept that, but the point is that it's a very significant thing. You know? And, you know, the fact that it may have been true, definitely, you know, I don't know if there's historical, you know, evidence of it, but it definitely, put it this way, even today, people that keep Shemitah today say they have miraculous stories. There's some farmers today that are not even from here in Israel that have seen some of the stories of people that were from that kept Shemitah, and they had like miraculous things happen to them in their crops that...
Do most farmers in Israel nowadays keep Shemitah?
So this is an interesting question. Because we don't have time to get into this now. We have to stop in a couple minutes. But today, there are, I would say most farmers do something during Shemitah. Meaning they don't all let their land lie fallow. Some of them will do Otzer Beis Din. Some of them will do the Matzah Menutah. Meaning they'll grow in the greenhouses or whatever. And some of them will do Heter Mechira.
Do any farmers just let their, just not do
it? Yeah. Some of
that's crazy. How do they...
So again, some of them get, you know, they get some help. And they get
isn't there a Heter to give, like, just enough water for it to...
Yeah, that's correct. But that doesn't mean you can get, you know, you can get certain things, but you still can't,
like,
you know...
So that just doesn't die.
Yeah, so that's a lie. We'll talk about that, okay? We'll talk about that in another month or so. But that doesn't help you be able to sell your crops, because if your crops are hefker, you can't sell them on a mass level that you normally do and make a lot of profit.
So if I'm one who just lets their land lie fallow, they could just unemployed for
right,
a year.
Exactly. So what some of them do is they get...
It's not like farmers make a ton of money.
Yeah. So some of them will rely on earlier things. So there actually is a Karen Shvius, which they have a certain fund that they take, they get money for tzedakah, they give to the farmers. That's one way to do it. And there's other farmers that, you know, that some of them, they also get Siat Dishmaya, they get, you know, help in some form for crops doing really well from the year before, or afterwards, the next year they get, you know, whatever it is. There are a lot of stories like this, okay? So again, it doesn't prove, but many farmers have decided they want to keep Shemitah, even if they're not from. Because they identify with the idea of Shemitah, the idea of letting the land lie fallow, being connected to the land, is something which really speaks to them. So today, I think about 90% of farmers do something. They may do Heter Mechira, which means at least they're doing something. They're selling the land, which again, is maybe not the most ideal solution, but it's something. It's better than just working land normally. That's really, we've come a long way here in Israel when it comes to that. We'll talk about this more when we get a little farther. Just very quickly to get to these other the other reasons we have to stop. But we say here in Dalet, okay, we're not going to read it inside, but here this is an extension of what we said before, that to strengthen our emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the creation of the world, that just like Hashem created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh, so Shemitah also means that we work the land for 6 years and we rest during the seventh year, which basically is a parallel of Shemitah to, which day, obviously, Shabbos. And we see that in the Torah. The Torah said, Shabbos la'Hashem shana Shabbason yelaretz. That's a clear parallel that we see. That's an important idea also, to remind us that Hashem created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Hey is basically the same thing as before. We remember that Hashem, the land is basically based on Hashem. He says here also in the Sefer HaChinuch that it's not based on our work that the land thrives. It's because Hashem supervises everything happening, etc., etc. Vav is the idea of vatranut, the idea that we have to be, you know, generous. We want to remember that if we give our food as hefker to the poor people, we're trying to remember that we're going to be, you know, just with our giving. It's not just all for us, it's also for other people as well. Zion is a really interesting one, which we're not going to read inside, but if you look at the Ibn Ezra here, Ibn Ezra has a different idea. He says that it's a sabbatical. What's a sabbatical in contemporary terms? It means you go and do like research, you go learn Torah, you go to Kolo, whatever it is. Ibn Ezra says, that's Kolo. That was the time of Kolo back in the times of the Torah. The farmers went and learned for a year. Yeah, Hashem gave them a special bracha, they would have enough food. And basically he says they would go to Kolo for that whole year and they would learn. Amazing thing, right? Amazing thing, because if you work the land hard for 6 years, you're going to get tired, you know? So to be able to use your energy for, like, you know, intellectual pursuits for a whole year is really a very special bracha. Number one, they strengthen their spirituality, and number two, when they go back to farming in the next year, they're invigorated with it, you know, in a way which is, you know, just like Shabbos. You know, Shabbos invigorates you. So that's what the Nezer says. Rav Kook also, which you don't have, Rav Kook also develops that as well. He talks about like a national Shabbos. Okay, it's not just the individual Shabbos of during the week. Shemitah is the national Shabbos, where basically we have a national invigoration, where we want the whole nation to basically be, you know, focused on spiritual pursuits of Torah and the connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu, not to just plant or whatever it is. So essentially, basically here we have all these different ideas of Shemitah, which hopefully should make us a little more connected to the idea of Shemitah. Again, we're not the farmers, so we don't identify with it as much, but at least to have a taste of what the farmers are doing. And for us as well, we'll see as we go through the halachos, there are different ways that we can also connect to Shemitah, especially here, we're here this year in Israel, and we can connect to the ideas of Shemitah, even if we're not the farmers. Hopefully we can bring it home and you know, think a little bit ourselves as well. Okay, any questions? No? Okay, very good.